Donc, Anne Besson est professeure spécialiste en fantasy. Donc, on est très heureuse de l'accueillir avec nous aujourd'hui. Donc, Anne, la parole est à vous.
Merci Pascal. J'ai surtout le grand honneur d'être directrice ou co-directrice de deux des organisatrices du colloque. Donc voilà, c'est beaucoup de fierté, même si je ne peux malheureusement pas être très présente lors de ce colloque et je le regrette. Mais donc voilà, je fais ma part avec très grand plaisir aujourd'hui en présentant donc le premier panel de cette journée Transformer les codes qui donc porte sur la thématique magie et identité. Et je vais d'abord donc introduire Andrea Romani, qui termine actuellement son master en études anglaises à l'université de Perpignan, donc côté français pour commencer, même si elle s'exprimera en anglais, puisque voilà, c'est une anglophone. Son mémoire porte sur la famille Adams et vise à mettre en lumière la critique sociale implicite et pseudo-féministe derrière la grotesquerie apparemment inoffensive de cette terrible famille. Andrea Romani a toujours été très intéressée par les genres gothiques et la fantasy, et plus particulièrement par la féminité en tant que trope en perpétuelle évolution dans ces deux genres. Par conséquent, cette communication est pour elle l'occasion de discuter d'enjeux qui lui tiennent à cœur, non seulement académiquement, mais aussi personnellement. Et donc, cette communication porte sur Uprooted de Naomi Novik. Et je n'ai pas de trigger warning a priori à vous communiquer.
Bon, ben j'allume mon micro. Merci beaucoup aux organisatrices, encore une fois, de m'avoir laissé participer à ce colloque. Et I'll switch to English. So, as you can see, I'll be working on the novel Uprooted, which was written by the author Naomi Novik and published in 2015. It portrays a headstrong heroine, which is why I chose it as my object of study. And I will be talking about the uprooting of clichés and how this novel reverses magical tropes for feminist purposes. So I will just give a quick overview of the plot for all those of you who haven't read it. So every 10 years, a wizard named the Dragon, or Sarkhan, which is his real name, takes a young girl to his tower. And against all odds, Agnieszka, a disheveled girl, is chosen as his prize for this year. However, the dragon does not take girls to be his servants or for more dreadful purposes like rumors claim, and instead he chooses those with magical potential to teach them magic and fight their common enemy, the corrupted wood. So the story unfolds as Agnieszka learns how to use her magic and goes from being a timid and clumsy girl to an empowered young woman. And many elements of the novel are not only provocative, but socially challenging, and especially when it comes to Agnieszka's magic. So I buy into Jackson's claim that all fantasies are political and that they are never ideologically innocent texts. So despite fantasy's misogyny in many instances, it still portrays a sort of hatching of female repressed energies. So this novel, like many others in fantasy, uses female repression as a tool for character development. But I will not really talk about how the character is repressed. I will only talk about how she becomes empowered. So Mendenhall and James, two other critics, contend that around the end of the 20th century, fantasy went from depicting heteronormative romance and women who barely exist or are prizes to independent Amazons and warlords almost overnight. And although Agnieszka does start off as a prize, her status as a witch, as well as the fact that she does not abide by patriarchal feminine codes, makes her out as a feminist character. So in Uprooted, patriarchy is first presented in the form of the sacrifice trope. So according to Green, it is a very, very common trope in fantasy literature. And like Tasmin Ayed said yesterday in A Song of Ice and Fire, in A Song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin, Daenerys Targaryen is also sacrificed. So there you have it. So later in Apritid, the patriarchal structure is made clearer through the detailed description of the dragon's magic, which is very mathematical, unlike Agnieszka's, something I will explain later on. So according to James, the fantasy genre is an obvious venue for working out ideas about feminism and utopian feminist possibilities. Which is why I wonder what makes Agnieszka's character anti-patriarchal, and how does she debunk and reject hegemonic power with her magic? So I will answer this question through two main topics. On the one hand, Agnieszka's magic, and on the other, her link with nature. So first of all, I will talk about Agnieszka's haphazard magic and how it is set against the magical order in the novel. So Mona Chollet, a very famous now French writer, claims that the witch is the only feminine archetype which holds power for herself and does not let her husband or her father define her. And therefore, I do not think it is a coincidence that a witch character such as Agnieszka manages to become independent, unlike many other female characters in Apritid. So when it comes to Agnieszka's magic, words like impulse, profligate, and uncontrolled are often used to describe it. But I do not believe that they should be viewed as negative. And in fact, the vividness and free-spirited quality of her magic becomes a strength in the novel. So thanks to her unique and disruptive magic, she can do things that average wizards cannot. She works with intuition and feeling, for example. And the two main particulars of her magic, in my opinion, are its sharpness and its malleability. So indeed, Agnieszka's relationship with her magic seems bi-directional in the sense that, for instance, not only can she handle strong spells and perform them on the first try, but in times of need, words of power also come to her and she flings them around very easily. She can instinctively also alter spells and recycle other wizard incantations, which is very rare. And she manages to keep only one word from a chant to adapt it to fit her. So she's very intuitive. But she's not only powerful because she possesses this deep well of magic, which she can use very well, but also because she knows how to use her magic, her instincts, sorry, to her magic's benefit. So in fact, in the novel is written in the first person internal point of view. And this highlights how wrong Agnieszka feels when she has to follow first the dragon's teachings, and how when she later simply lets her magical instincts guide her, magic works better for her. So she knows how to adapt her magic to different situations, which makes her, apart from a good witch, also a good analyst. And according to Lofi Hurst, another critic, it is very rare for female characters in fantasy stories who are usually only empowered on the surface. Campbell, on the other hand, argues that through the newfound experience of magic, fantasy female characters are transformed and can powerfully and independently create their own selves. So they later use their imagination and strength to save male characters, which is the case for Agnieszka. So although women in fantasy intuitively rather than knowingly do magic according to Campbell, it gives them strength and hope, which leads to quest resolutions and the saving of a country most of the time in fantasy stories. So likewise, Agnieszka and her slipshod magic make her out in the end as the savior of her friends and men included, such as Sarkin, the dragon, whom she saves many times. So the dragon's contempt in the novel is apparent when he refuses to believe that Agnieszka's magic, which she performs very well, is not available to him. So he can neither perform her magic nor understand it. And the fact that her magic works against all odds, against all the mathematical teachings he's been taught himself as a child, make him nearly incoherent with fury. So in this sense, his magic could be seen as a representation of society and patriarchy, and hers as otherness. And so his disapproval of her magic actually goes beyond simple lack of understanding. So in the novel, there's this scene where Agnieszka saves his life, and his pride as the wizard makes her believe that he would have rather died from the corruption of the wood than to have to accept that Agnieszka managed to save him with her unconventional magic. So I think this shows the extent of the dragon's normative brainwashing, Which is why Inieska could be the embodiment not only of otherness, but also of gender and social disruption. So there is a quote on my Prezi, which I will now read, and it is something that Inieska says around the middle of the novel. So, if I'd swallowed everything he told me about magic, I still have been chanting cantrips to my exhaustion. He had told me himself no one had ever been brought out of a heart tree. No one had ever come out of the woods, but Jagger had done it, and now I had to. So in my opinion, this scene really serves to show that Agnieszka's magic not only stands out due to its unorthodoxy, but also due to the limitations of the dragon's androcentric power. So the fact that Jagger, or Jaga, another female wizard who is inspired by the Slavic folklore figure of Baba Yaga, you've perhaps heard about her, became a great witch with the same unruly magic that Agnieszka performs, is a sort of argument of authority and gives the heroine more credit. So this leads Agnieszka to believe that Sarkhan's rules do not apply to her, and that what matters to his magic does not matter to hers at all. And eventually, the dragon is forced to face the reality of his not knowing everything and to move away from his erudite pedestal. And then Sarkhan enters this liminal territory where he finally accepts that there is more than one way to go about doing magic. So the quote on the screen is actually before he accepts that Agnieszka's slapdash magic works, but he eventually does, although it is very late in the novel, I must say. So in fact, there's a clear reversal of power dynamics in narrative around the middle of the novel. So the initial teacher, that is Sarkhan, becomes the pupil, and Agnieszka becomes a figure of authority. So I will read the quote on the Prezi. I told him they were separated incantations, not all one long chant, in the way that meant he hadn't realized it before. I couldn't help but be secretly, passionately glad, another proof that his knowledge had limits. So this inversion actually emphasizes Agnieszka's empowerment and highlights what Shane calls the process of affirmation. So to Shane, this critic, fantasy is a genre of overcoming obstacles and achieving goals, and fantasy narratives are structured around quests or tasks. But Agnieszka seems to have fulfilled in the novel the task of disrupting the magical status quo and also of taking pleasure in doing so. So the second quote illustrates how in the past she set herself and admitted that she was glad of spoiling the dragon's magic and not only of managing to control her own. So in other words, sorcery in this dark fantasy story is worked through spells and words of magic. However, Agnieszka voluntarily alters them through mispronunciations. She also melds several cantrips together and slugs spells on purpose to achieve a different magical outcome. And this makes her out, I think, as a witch researcher who finds what she needs in magic and challenges the magical order with her researches. So to me, she could have almost written a thesis on magic, for example, on her kind of magic and how other women could also use it. So Agnieszka's credo could be interpreted as feminist, since it does not apply to the dragon's rules and by extension to patriarchal rules. And Novik herself in an interview said that when her protagonist is challenged, she's able to rise to the occasion. On the one hand, I have just now explored Agnieszka's power and how it is unruly and therefore disrupts patriarchal power, but I will now explain the links between her power and nature more clearly. So female sorcery and nature are very linked uprooted. So to Agnieszka, magic is a living thing rather than to be tamed, to be understood. So she lets her magic guide her rather than force it to do what she wills. This shows the difference between the dragon's use of magic, which bends things forcefully, and Agnieszka's, which drives her. So in fact, Agnieszka uses metaphors related to nature when describing her magic. And for example, the first time that she manages to use her magic by herself and not with the dragon's help, she compares her craft to the fury of water. So I will read the quote again. And then finally, the magic flowed, but not in the same way as when the dragon's spell lessons dragged it in a rush out of me. Instead, it seemed to me the sound of the chanting became a stream made to carry magic along. And I was standing by the water's edge with a pitcher that never went dry, pouring a thin silver line into the rushing current. So this quote, in my opinion, underlies the ecofeminist connection between Agnieszka and her magic. So indeed, ecofeminism, I will explain it very briefly, is basically a branch of feminism which studies and examines the links between nature and the feminine. And this connection seems to fit with the protagonist's magic very well. So the use of the verb standing by in the quote highlights the mutual relationship between nature and Agnieszka. So nature allows Agnieszka to use its power, and in return, Agnieszka lets nature follow its course. Plumwood and Lofi Hurst state that there is a male-female binary which opposes socially approved magic like Sarkens, the dragon. So Plumwood and Lofi Hurst state that there is a male-female binary which opposes socially approved magic like Sarkens, the dragon, to a more environmentally rooted magic like Agnieszka's. And masculine magic seems to operate according to strict rules and is associated with books and institutional education, whereas feminine magic tends to be connected to nature and is therefore portrayed as more wild and uncontrollable. And this is exactly the case for Agnieszka. Her magic is constantly described by the dragon and by other characters with synonyms of the words hasty and messy, whereas the dragon's magic is described as controlled and logical. Besides, Agnieszka's magic is intermingled with nature in the sense that to her, doing magic is like leaning in the woods. So she only has to follow the path laid up before her and grope at her surroundings with her magic to find her way around a spell. She also directly talks to nature when performing magic, as if asking for permission to use it as a sorcery tool, as illustrated by the second quote on the screen. So not only is the link between nature and the feminine apparent in uprooted through Agnieszka's magic, but also through how Agnieszka describes the wood. So she says about the wood that there was a song in the forest, whispering of madness and tearing and rage. And this disassociation of the wood with hysteria is very feminine in the sense that women are often said to be hysteric when angry, according to conservative values in pre-feminist history, but also in our contemporary society still. So as explained before, the wood is a living thing to Agnieszka, but also a metaphor of the female and nature's, and nature's oppression. So I'm not trying to say here that women and nature are one and the same, but rather that they share a common goal, that of escaping repressive masculinity, or at least in the novel. And Agnieszka's power is intersectional in the sense that it encompasses women's as well as nature's suffocation in society. So Plumwood argues that there are conceptual and cultural connections between women and nature. And when it comes to uprooted, the conceptual link between the two is apparent through the personification of the wood. So the wood is in fact ruled by the wood queen, who is a sort of woman tree hybrid. And plausibly, Novik could have been inspired by the figure of Mother Earth for the wood queen character. So the fact that the wood queen is corrupted could actually symbolize the negative representation both of nature and women in society. So I think that fantasy world building affords authors with a plethora of possibilities for new and more diverse feminine characterization. Therefore, the fact that the wood is embodied by a corrupted woman in uprooted could be seen as a deliberate choice on the part of the author, Naomi Novik, to emphasize feminine power censure and condemnation in society. So by the end of the novel, the dragon admits that he has been deliberately actually refusing to associate himself with nature and to plant roots of his own in the valley, which further highlights the hegemonic rejection and exclusion of the natural feminine. Agnieszka, on the other hand, has grown up surrounded by the wood, and it is said that the wood has laid such an imprint on her that she is culturally and emotionally rooted to the land. So both her mind and her body are tied to the woods and by extension to nature itself. So through Agnieszka's constant refusal to obey men, through her ties to the woods and her ever-present respect of nature, she seems to become an ecofeminist figure. And eventually she even becomes a heroine full of confidence, rooted willingly to the land, to her valley, and uprooted from social and therefore patriarchal norms. So she becomes Sarkens' equal in the end, since she eventually becomes the main wizard of the Yellow Marches, which is the name of her valley, where most of the plot takes place. And at the very end of the novel, we see how she starts healing the wood like a sort of gardener, And again, to Campbell, the garden also represents the redemptive magic which can infuse the present and the future. So Nieska becomes, in this sense, a sort of world changer in the novel. To conclude, Naomi Novik, in another interview, explained that as she was writing The End of Uprooted, she realized the importance of endings. So she said that an ending should transform what came before it and give a sense of closure and satisfaction. So this could seem like a quite a cliche thing to say, but the fact that the story begins with the dragon taking Agnieszka away against her will and ends with him going to her says a lot about her independence, how much power she holds over him, and signals the end of her coming of age line with a beguiling empowerment. And in fact, many readers of the novel have praised this ending because it sort of reverses the typical protagonist marrying the male protagonist. So that's why I think the quote is important in this case. So Uprooted is a coming of age, but also a coming into power story. And Nieska seems to achieve, besides her goal of saving her village and the world from the forest, an undercurrent aim, that of female autonomy. And what is important about Agnieszka's magic is the way it works on its own, but also the way it works with others. So I did not have time to explore this, but for instance, she does a lot of teamwork with Zark and the dragon. And I think it could be a representation of a possible union between patriarchal power and feminine power. And I would just like to say that there still remain two axes of study, which I would perhaps one day like to explore on this novel, which I think are very interesting. So in the novel, there's this character named Keisha, and she's Agnieszka's best friend. And she's represented as an ace figure and is initially introduced to us as a counterpart, to the hyperbolically clumsy Agnieszka. And later moves away from feminine cliches. So she's another feminine character who becomes empowered. And another subject which I would like to work on is the romanticization of the male protagonist's abusive behavior, which did not suit this seminar, but I think it's a trope which is still used too profusely in fantasy. So I think it could be interesting to study it. And here's my bibliography in case you want to take a look. That's it. Thank you so much.